If you've been around North Elevation Church very long, you know something of great importance to us. And that thing is that we believe that you should be involved in as Christians in the process. That means Christians should be registered to vote. And you should vote. We have 14 constitutional amendments coming up in November. And don't say, oh, it's just constitutional amendments. No, you need to be informed. They're important. I was in two meetings this week that these were brought up. One of them that's on the constitutional amendment, I heard an entire in-depth look at it. And definitely it needs to be voted yes on. And if that gets me in trouble out there, I don't care. It needs to be voted yes on. But we believe the church should be involved. And so after service for the next three Sundays I believe we've got, just about, maybe two, Judge Hayes, I like to still call him Judge Hayes, he's not serving as a judge right now, but he's going to serve again somewhere. Judge Hayes will be out in the foyer at the Connection Center, and he has cards that you can fill out and get registered to vote. And if you have any questions about different things that are coming up, Judge Hayes can answer your question. One thing I like about Judge Hayes, if he doesn't know, he'll find out and get back with you. And so we believe in the process, and if you have not registered to vote, you need to. And you need to get involved in the process and be informed. Know what those constitutional amendments are. Don't just blow it off and say, I only vote for the major elections. We need to be voting on everything that comes up. City, it breaks my heart because I used to be the vice chairman of the planning and zoning here in Mansfield. I was the chairman of the planning and zoning in Burleson, only pastor to ever serve in those positions. And what used to break my heart was come city election time, you got, in some cities, you got 60,000 people registered to vote and 340 show up. Church, we need to show up and we need to vote, okay? Now, one other thing before I get into my message. Mr. Gary Hood and Eva Hood, we did not get to properly thank you here recently because y'all were on this wonderful vacation, and so we didn't want you to miss that. But we want to thank Hood Construction for helping us with our wall. Gary, you brought your crew out here. You took care of all that. Your donation of building the wall and your crew put most of the sheetrock up. I know you and I had to finish the sheetrock. And then the thing the both of us dread the most, we painted the wall on both sides and we got through it. Yeah, we survived. But thank you for your donation and helping putting that wall up. You installed the doors. That was a trip. We had to get other doors because the first doors didn't do their thing right. You installed all the doors, and we thank you for all of that. For some of you that are new here, just a very short few months ago, there was no wall. So we're super excited that we have a wall and that there's doors, and I don't have to watch everybody mingling around out there going to the bathroom. So it's really cool. Would you stand with me as we're going to worship God this morning? Extend our worship to God through our first passage of Scripture this morning out of 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11 reads, Lord, you are great and powerful. Yours is the greatness and the power. You have glory, victory, and honor, majesty, and splendor. Everything in heaven and on earth belongs to you. Amen. Amen. I'll say that again. Everything on this earth belongs to him. The kingdom, sovereignty, dominion belongs to you. Lord, you are the ruler, head, exalted over everything. Amen. Amen. Let's give him an offering of praise. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I Am. And we need to worship him. We need to recognize who's in control. Very important that we recognize who's in control. Never think that he's out of control. He is in control. As I said last week, he may allow some things we don't like, but he's still in control. And we have to trust him. Amen? We got to trust him. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and now we prepare our hearts for part three of our series, Who is God? And so, Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you settle upon every heart right now in a way, in a manner, and speak to every individual that they choose to listen and hear about their Heavenly Father, the God that created everything. And we give you praise and honor and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I shared, and I will be sharing this each time that I come back to the series, because I want us to stay in connection with what happened. God spoke to me back at the end of June that he said, my people don't know me. They know about me in some ways. I need my people to know me. They need to know me. Not just know about me and not just know me in certain ways. They needed to know me. And I want to read again Billy Graham's quote. He said, most of us know about God, but that is quite different from knowing God. God began to continue to speak to me through the Holy Spirit, stating that he wanted his people to know him and that I knew what to do. And what that is to reveal the name of names, the most powerful entity, deity in all of the universe and any other universe they've found, only exists because of him. To know the names of the name. And that's what this series is all about. One name cannot contain and fully explain who God is. We need to know the names of God. We need to understand their meanings. And we need to use them. That's important. But it's through the knowing and the meaning and the understanding of his names that we're going to know God more fully, which is very important. We need to know God more fully. A truth this morning, we must never allow God's names to be emptied of their true meanings, never to be discarded as unimportant. They are important. Don't discard them as unimportant. They're very important. That's why we need to get to know them. Now, before I get to a quote, next, I've told you my story about Pastor Tony Evans. Met him 3 months after I left my job and went into full-time ministry. Got to meet him, got to spend time with him, and I've been following him ever since. And one of my favorite quotes from Pastor Tony Evans fits perfectly for the message that I'm going to preach today. Pastor Tony Evans said, the bad news today is life has problems. The good news today is God has a name for them. God has a name for those problems. Absolute truth. Another pin truth for me, God's names contain tremendous power, and we need to use them. Now, we're going to go back to part one, and we're going to drill deeper into what I just talked about briefly in part one concerning David and Goliath. We're going to drill down even more into that story today. And I'm going to reveal some things that are just going to be totally free information. Again, I want us to learn to not just read the Bible, but live the Bible. Do more than read it, study it. Pause. Hit the pause button often and study the Word of God. Now, in this story, we're going to learn that God has a name for fighting giants. And that name is Jehovah Saba. He has a name for fighting giants. Jehovah Saba, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Saba. I just like the way it sounds. Saba. Pin truth about the name. The name Saba essentially means army, host, warfare. God will fight your battles. God will fight your battles. The question is, will you let him? Do you believe that he will? He is Jehovah Saba, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies. And he'll fight your battles. Now, Samuel, 1 Samuel 17, beginning of verse 41, speaking of Goliath. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. Pause. You need to underline shield bearer because I'm going to come back to that. Okay? Verse 42. And when the Philistines looked and saw David, I need to say this. There's two very important things that are uncovered about this shield bearer, and I'm only going to cover one of them, and I'm going to struggle not to get into the other one. So pray for me. I stay on base here, what God wants me to do, because this is really good. Verse 42. And when the Philistines looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistines said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, I love this, "You come to me with sword and with spear and with javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Saba, and God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." You know what? We need to get some teenage energy going again, church. My teenagers would say things to me that, you know, would make me go, "What?" Bold. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air." Look, he's throwing it right back at him. There's a revelation there, if you're hearing it. He's throwing it right back at him. "And to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Verse 47, "And that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." Now, let's look at this for a moment. Goliath is over 9 feet tall. Most estimates say that he's about 580 pounds. Okay? Carter, hope to see you in the gym again someday. I'm working on it. I'll get there, yeah. When I'm around Carter, I feel like I'm around this giant guy, you know, so he reminds me of the things I should do to stand against my giants. Thank you, Carter. Weighs about 580 pounds, over 9 feet tall. That's not counting his armor and his spears and everything else he's got. Hundreds of pounds. This is a very awesome looking dude. Very terrifying. But this is what gets me. This is one of the things where I just stop and pause and I have to have a laugh. Here's David, this teenager. He's just got some stones and a slingshot. And Goliath comes out there, over 9.5 feet tall, 580 pounds, all of his armor, and he's got a dude in front of him. And this armor bearer is not some weakling. This is a soldier, big guy, carrying this shield in front of him and would protect him from the front and off his flanks, has a sword. This is a warrior. If Goliath was so awesome, why did he do that? See, all of our pictures is it's just David and Goliath. No, let's get the true picture. David's not just facing Goliath. He's facing the armor bearer too, who has a sword and the shield. He's facing two people. When was the last time you thought about that? That would have been enough to say, this is just overwhelming. The odds are not on my side. Exactly what the devil wants you to believe. Odds are not on your side. Stay with me now. All of this is important. Now, for a moment, think about what David said to him. "Dude, God's going to give you to me. I'm going to cut your head off." I can just see that armor bearer standing there, peek out from behind that shield, look up at Goliath and said, "I am convinced now that kid's crazy. Come on." But David knew something. another truth. The problem with giants is not the size. The problem is we don't see God as bigger. God actually being the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Saba. And church, that must change in our lives. It must change. David knew that the Lord of the army, the Lord of hosts, was with him. And he had no doubt that victory was his. No doubt. Facing his giant with an armor bearer, David knew God was with him and had not left him. And we have got to stop thinking God's not with us. And we got to stop not going, getting off the battlefield. God is with us. David knew it. David knew that Jehovah Saba was with him. And that alone provided the truth that he would in the end have the victory. He would have the victory. Now let's drill deeper. Deeper point number one is change your perspective. Maybe a better way to say it is change your outlook. Change your outlook. Starting by seeing through his names. Start seeing your giant through Jehovah Saba. Start seeing your giant through the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies, who is present on your side and will give you victory. Change your perspective. Change your outlook. His outlook was that Jehovah Saba was standing with me, the Lord of hosts. David's perspective, his outlook, was that the Lord of armies was going to fight his battle. He just had to be present on the battlefield and do whatever he was asked to do. Did you hear what I just said? Be present on the battlefield. I fully believe that his presence on the battlefield and where his trust was, and he had no doubt that God could have just slain the giant. But there was other things he wanted us to learn through what David did. He saw through the spiritual eye, the Almighty God was on the battlefield, and victory was going to be his. What do we see? Got to ask that question. What do we see? Let's drill down even further. Point number two. Counter the giant's mockery. David countered Goliath's mockery by stating to him that he had Jehovah Saba, the Lord of hosts, on his side, the Lord of the armies on his side, and that the Lord was going to cut his head off. What are we saying to the giant? Oh, giant, I am so sorry. I didn't mean to make you mad. I'll just quietly walk away. Or we just go silent. The enemy is railing against your faith, your God, and this word, and you cannot be silent. You got to counter the mockery with the truth. And that's why you need to be in this book, and you need to know what the book says. You need to know what the word says. You need to memorize scriptures, and you need to be ready to get on the offensive and not start getting silent and leaving the battlefield. You need to stand up and decide that you're going to see Jehovah Saba with you and that you're going to start announcing so everybody can hear you that the giant is coming down. You got to call that that's not as though it is. The giant hadn't come down yet, but David was speaking it. He countered the mockery with truth. What are we countering the mockery with? Well, but you don't understand, they said. If it's defeating you, you need to stop that and say, I don't care what they said. The Word says, God promised me. This is what God promised me. This is what God promised my family. This is what God promised my daughter. This is what God promised my son. This is what God promised my grandchild. We've got to stop bailing out of the battlefield. And I've got more to say about that in a moment. Let's drill deeper. Let's stay where we're at. Let's go further. I've already said it. Let's push it. Point number three, speak to your giant. Speak to your giant. And we've already talked about last week, your giant is not a person. It is not flesh and blood. But principalities and powers of the air and dark rulers, are you with me? We need to speak to our giant. David told Goliath, he spoke to him. And he basically told him, you about to die, bro. I know. You think I'm nothing, but wait until you meet Jehovah Saba. First Samuel 17, verse 45. Then David said to the Philistines, Philistine, you come to me with a word and with spear and with javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Saba, and the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Somebody needs to underline that passage of Scripture and start speaking it to your giant. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut your head off. Well, those are pretty harsh words, Pastor. Those are fighting words that you need to be speaking for your victory. I shocked a lot of people a few weeks ago when I was praying at one of my overseers' church. We just went to be there, and we hadn't seen them in a while, and was there on a Wednesday night, and they were having a prayer service. He asked me to get up and pray, and I know I just kind of rattled a lot of stuff because I got up and I started praying that the pastors that won't stand up and preach the truth and stand up for the truth need to just be removed. And it got everybody's praying along, and all of a sudden there was this kind of this pause there for a moment. Like, I turn around, and Pastor Jeff's looking at me, going, "We, the church, need to speak the truth, and it's going to be the truth that's going to win your battles. It's the truth that's going to defeat your giants, not a self-help thing." You need the truth of the power of the Word, and you need to speak to your giant and tell him, Jehovah Saba's on my side, and you're in trouble. The Israelites' perspective was on the physicality of the size of Goliath. David's perspective was on the size of Jehovah Saba. He was all-powerful. Goliath was not. David had Jehovah Saba on his side. Goliath didn't. Do the demonic realm that was in Goliath's life have more authority and power than Jehovah Saba? No. Jehovah Saba got on the battlefield, and now it's over. Over. My question with that is, where's your focus? Is your focus on the physicality of the size of the giant or on how big your God is? How big is your God? My God's huge. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't get off the battlefield. David did not leave the battlefield. Most of the time, all we see is the giant. Like all the kids' stuff. I was just looking at one of the books. You know, my grandkids, we got stuff for them in this toy area. And I was like, just saw one. And I was like, man, this is crazy. I'm going to preach on that. There it is. What do they show? They show David and Goliath about so far apart and there's nothing in between. Think about David. He's facing not just Goliath, but the armor bearer too. And most of the time, we're just looking at the giant. David was facing both and trusted Jehovah Saba. He did not abandon the battlefield. You know why? Because David believed that his God was supreme above it all. That his God was supreme over the situation, over what was happening, everything that was connected to it. David knew that his God was with him. That Jehovah Saba was on the battlefield. Listen, that's why David picked up five smooth stones. I'm going to say it again. He picked up five smooth stones, not because he thought, well, if I miss, I got four more tries. Goliath had four brothers, older brothers, giants. Oh, I love David. David picked up five stones. My Jehovah's with me. I'll take out Goliath, and if the other four stand up, they're done too. Well, what happened to the armor bearer? You know, if he had any sense, he ran like crazy. When Goliath fell. I can see that. Like, I'm out here all by myself. Goliath's dead. I'm gone. Did you notice the brothers didn't show up? If that dude did that once, I wonder if, you know, I'm not going to be, no, you go out there. No, don't you go out there. I ain't going out there. You know why? Because Jehovah Saba was on the battlefield. In truth, young David trusted God for the victory as he claimed, the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. I know my son-in-law is watching me right now. I hadn't planned on bringing this up. You probably wouldn't want me to bring this up, but I'm going to bring it up. Our son-in-law, who would be ending the service today, is not here today because he's at home because he's having fluid again around his heart. And I'm just telling you, son-in-law, your giant is defeated. We have got to get up and stand up, get on the field, and don't move. But I'm tired. I know. I get it. But listen, the Bible tells me very clearly, you hide under the shadow of the Almighty on the battlefield, and he will renew your strength. Yes. Yes. Collins' giant's coming down, your giant's coming down. Yes. My final statement this morning, these unique names of God are an incredible blessing when you see them in the context of Scripture. These names help us when we address Him in prayer. Just as we want to call people by the proper term or name, we want to address God with appropriate wisdom and reverence whenever we pray. When you pray, you can address your Heavenly Father as Jehovah Saba. Try it the next time you bow your head in prayer when the knowledge you have now should be with the knowledge you have now about the Lord of hosts. Let me press something here. Late last night, I've jotted three things down. What giant are you trying to fight today without Jehovah Saba? Well, I don't like the way he's going about it. I don't like his timetable. Wrong thing to say. Well, I think I've got, I can get this done. Most of the time, we interject and we cause more problems. Come on. David was led on the battlefield by the presence of Jehovah Saba. He did what he was being led to do. How much more simpler, and it provides less problems. It gets your enemy off his feet and dead. What John are we trying to fight today? I put big, bold letters here. Stop! Trust God to fight your giant. Do what he tells you to do. If he tells you to go get 5 smooth stones, it's getting real serious. But he'll be with you, and he'll fight the battle. He'll take out the enemy. He will defeat your giant. And then the last thing I put down was, there's a key moment today, and it is this. Sometimes we got to get out of the way to get in the proper place so we can take out the giant. Does that make sense? It means surrender to him. Everything. Everything. And expect him to do everything. What's your giant you're facing today? I'm going to make a shift here. I'm going to ask Rochelle to come up and grab the mic. Rachel will be up in a moment. She's going to fill in for Colin today. What's your giant? Won't you stand up on the battlefield right now and declare Jehovah Saba? And Rochelle's going to pray. You get to watch your giant start coming down.
Oh, Lord, Almighty God of heaven and earth, you are sovereign God. You are Jehovah Saba. You are our Lord of hosts, our strong and mighty God, the head of the Lord's army. You are the mighty one, the mighty warrior. And you fight for us. And you see your people today as we stand, and we stand by faith against our giants today. Oh, God, you see our cries. You hear our cries, and you see our faith as we stand in faith. And even if you don't feel faith, he sees it as faith because you have stood before him today. And we release it to you, oh God. We release our battles to you, oh God. And we say that you are Lord. You are Lord God Almighty. You will fight our battles, and you will defeat our enemies because you go before us and prepare the way, and you will see to it that our enemies are routed and defeated. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. They will be brought down and defeated because our trust and our faith and our hope is in you, O Lord God Almighty, and you will defeat every giant that comes against us. Because we will stand on the name of Jesus. We will stand on faith, in faith. And we will stand upon your word, oh God. Because it is powerful and it will defeat the enemy. So Lord, I thank you today that you see every need. You see every struggle. You see every battle. You see every storm. You see every circumstance. Yes, yes. And you are saying, don't give up, my children. Don't be weak. Don't fall. Don't give up. But stand upon my word and stand in my truth and stand knowing that I will go before you and I will defeat your enemies every time. Every time. Just keep your faith in me and your trust in me and keep your eyes on me, says the Lord, and I will defeat your enemies. Go forth this day in my power and my authority and you will see things change. You will see your circumstances change and you will see the battle will be won, and it is won in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.